And good afternoon, Muskegon, for this March 15, 2024. How you doing, Muskegon? It's time for your show. News, information, and more. Touring the Two High. I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts. And Pastor Burns will be taking the day off because when we interview people in a political race, we want to stay as neutral as possible, okay? Do me a self-evaluation. First of all, I should say the views that you hear are the views of not the radio station. So if you have any problems, see the individuals or myself. First person on the board already, Anthony Miller. Afternoon, G-Man. Good afternoon, Mr. Miller. Listen, do me a favor, because this is very important, especially if you live in the Heights with this race today. Share this to your Facebook page or group page or whatever, and like I'm doing right now, and so we can get information out. Listen, if you don't get a chance, if you're driving on the road to see these shows, they repeat themselves on our Facebook, WUVS 103.7 or M106. Or you can catch us on YouTube or the Emoji app itself, okay? Weather for today is high of 46, low of 34, and sunny. Tomorrow, high of 49, low of 35 degrees and cloudy. Windy conditions, Sunday, high of 39, low of 29. Monday, high of 32, low of 37. Tuesday, a little warmer, high of 41. Low of 28. Wednesday, high of 43, low of 28. Thursday, 45, high of 45, low of 31. And Friday itself, next Friday, high of 40, low of 30. There is a special election going on in Muskegon Heights, and we need to get that information out. No better than to call the source herself. Put your hands together, Muskegon, for the Honorable County Clerk of Muskegon Heights, Jean Ross.
Hey. It's the city clerk, not the county clerk. We don't want to take anything away from our wonderful county clerk, Ms. Karen Bowie.
No, but you might be in line when she retires. So, I might be prophesying something.
You might be. Come on, somebody.
So, Jen, how you doing? We had Karen on last week. We talked about this special letter, but you got more details. So, what's the 411?
Hey, so Muskegon Heights has opted to have a special election for an open council seat. We all know that there was a change in the mayorship in November, and we also added a council person in November. And so that left an open seat because the current mayor is a former council member. Mm-hmm. So we have a special election coming up on May the 7th. 2024 to fill that vacant seat. And so the petition process is closed. The ballot process, the ballots are hopefully being printed this week because they'll be ready to go out as soon as they come in. So there will be three candidates listed on your ballot that you receive if you're an absentee ballot holder, or that you go to the polls and vote for if you vote in person. And those three are Darius Mitchell, Kim Sims, and Vernonelle Smith Sr.
All right. So yeah, we have three people that have fulfilled the options that everybody else set out. I thought there was going to be more. I really did.
I kind of was surprised too. I expected more. But, three is good. We had eight on the ballot for November. So three, I think, is okay for a special election. We just want to make sure that the citizens are aware of this special election because we don't have very many May elections, period. Right. So, we just want to make sure that everybody is aware that there is an election in May and aware that this is a local seat that they'll be voting for.
Right. So this is not Muskegon. This is just Muskegon Heights only. So let's make very clear.
Yes, this is just the city of Muskegon Heights. And so with that being said, there you won't be able to do the 9 days of early voting like you could do normally in a state or federal election. So this will just be the day of in person, or you are still able to do absentee, though.
Now, why is it on this particular election you can't do the 9 days prior?
That because Prop 2 only required it for state and federal elections.
Okay.
So it's not required for local elections. Also, when you talk about expense, you know, it's just us. So that it'd be quite costly for our taxpayers to do that. So so that's not required for this particular election. However, as I stated before, you can still do absentee. And it is now where if you're an absentee voter and you don't want to get that application every time it's time for an election, you can be a permanent ballot person. Holder, I guess I'll say, or recipient, which means anytime that there's an election, you'll automatically get a ballot. You'll
already signed up.
You did good. Good.
Okay, already signed up.
Good. So even to our absentee, the people that still get the application, I just want to let you know. So when those applications get sent out next week, there's still opportunity for you to become a permanent ballot recipient. On that application, there is a special box to check for that. You know, and if you don't, a lot of people don't, you know, they just want to, you know, they want to be able to decide when they want to vote. That's fine too. You don't have to do it, but the option is there. And then you don't have the responsibility of returning that application for every election.
Okay. Now, so, but there's some rules about those absentee ballots that once, I mean, they get sent out, you guys have to make sure.
Yeah. We definitely verify. They can't go to post office boxes. They do have to come to your home. We verify the signature against what we have in the qualified voter registration file. So we're making sure that it's you that signed it and not your spouse, which has happened. So I just want y'all to know, and I'm going to send it right back and say this signature does not match. And I'm going to need a different one, the correct one. So, we definitely, there are checks and balances as well. And once those ballots are issued to a person, they can't be issued to another person. You can't send back a ballot that was never issued. You know, it's there's checks and balances with the qualified voter file that kind of, you know, it's just impossible to get around it. So it's very safe. And again, we count those ballots the day of in the precincts. Our election workers are phenomenal and have been there for before me. So they've been there for a long time and do a wonderful job of making sure that the process goes smooth for our voters.
Now, will you have to, I know it's a special election, it's just Muskegon Heights, will you have to run the results through the county?
Yes. Yep. The results still go through the county. You know, we will know as soon as we close the polls, you know, what the results are. But the official results will go through the county.
Okay. Yes. All right. So I know who to call. Now, what was it looking at? And we'll be covering that race, all the details. Like, I believe there's going to be a debate.
Yeah. So shout out to Black Wall Street for keeping the community informed. Shout out to Ms. Simmons at Black Wall Street. But they are hosting a debate on April the 10th at 6 o'clock at the Lewis McMurray Center. From my understanding, all three of the candidates have agreed and will be there. And so this is another opportunity for our citizens to make an informed decision, come out, hear them speak, and, you know, make sure that, you know, you feel like you're voting for a great candidate to help lead Muskegon Heights to the greatness that it can be.
One thing that people don't realize that on a national level, people are watching this election because they want to see turnout.
Yes. And, you know, prior to even me taking this position, I'm a big, big, big voter advocate. You know, so people for this particular election is local. So, you know, typically in the past, we've anticipated a smaller turnout, but we would love to see an increase in the numbers. We'd love to see an increase in the percentage. We'd love for people to come out and listen and ask questions and be able to make informed decisions. So yeah, we, for every election, we want to see these numbers go up. And
you know, especially with absentee ballot being just as easy.
It's so easy. It's so convenient. You know, you don't have to leave work, or you don't have to leave the house to go and cast your vote and to make sure that it's counted. So yeah, so that's always an option. If you'd like more information on absentee voting, you can always give me a call in my office, 733-8999. That's the number to City Hall, or hit me up on Facebook, inbox me. I don't care. You know, inbox me, hit me up on the city page, whatever. I just want to make sure that you have the information that you need, so that we get more people at the polls for every election.
Now, people can sign up that day as well, correct? To vote?
To vote, yes. Michigan is a same-day registration state. You do have to come to the clerk's office, which I'm located at City Hall, to register to vote, and then you'd be able to vote on the same day.
Now, what's the address to the City Hall?
2724 Peck Street.
Okay, so yeah. I decide for the first time I want to vote. Mm-hmm. I can.
Yes, absolutely. Just as long as you're 18 years old, we can. And you are a resident of the city of Muskegon Heights. Then you'd be able to vote. Yes.
Bring that ID.
Absolutely.
Okay, so there are three people running. We're mm-hmm. going to be interviewing all three people that are running. Each person will get a half hour to give their spiel about how they feel that they're going to help the Heights. We're going to keep the questions similar, the same, unless we get questions from the side. We've always done this way, no matter how we've felt. We've always wanted to give people a chance to say what they need to say. Mm-hmm. Why you should vote for them. And we try to stay very neutral.
Yes.
So it's about people being informed.
Informed, yes.
And yes. So we just want to make sure and put that shout out. Now, if anything else on that, because you wear multiple hats. I want to get you on another one.
Okay. excuse me. I think that's it for the special election. Like I said, if you're a permanent ballot recipient already, be looking for those ballots. Hopefully I'll get them next week, and then they'll be going out as soon as I get them. If you are still an application, absentee application recipient, be looking for those in the mail next week, and they'll have return postage on them as well. So you can just pop those back in, sign it, and pop it back in the mail to me, or you can drop it off at City Hall. If it's after hours, there's a box outside the front door that says voter ballots and applications. So you can put it right in there. I'll get it the next day. It's very safe and secure. There are cameras on it. So very safe and secure. For you to do that as well. And again, if you have any questions at all, any questions about the process of voting, any questions about your polling location, just any questions about voting in general, please, please, please don't hesitate to give me a call. Again, my phone number there at City Hall is 733-8999. Mm-hmm. And I will be more than happy. You can stop in and talk to me, or whatever. I mean, just however, you know, we need to communicate, we can do so.
Right. You do have an open door policy.
I do. Absolutely. If I'm in the building, you can definitely see me. And I think I got one meeting outside the building next week. So Yeah. So as long as I'm there, you can definitely come in and talk to me. My door is always open.
Now, speaking about that door being open, I want to talk to you about a project that you took on that's very successful, and we need to blow it up.
Yes. So yeah, that project that you're talking about is the now known as the West Michigan Juneteenth Celebration.
Nice.
thank you. Thank you. And, you know, just a little backstory on the Juneteenth celebration. So, you know, I definitely wasn't the first person to bring Juneteenth to the Muskegon area. I actually used to volunteer with PA and Big Rod when they had a Juneteenth celebration at Smith Ryerson Center. So, yeah. So, you know, once PA became international and things, you know, just blew up for him.
I know it's hard to get him off his private jet.
Yeah, you know. You get off the jet, get on a helicopter, you know, stuff like that.
You being like that again.
Right. So so this was a project, you know, that I took over in 2020. And it just started with a simple fireworks show. We did a fireworks show at 8th Street Park, and that was very successful. So the next year, you know, we wanted to move locations, and we did that. And we've been at Mona Lake Park ever since. And so now it's gone from a couple of hours to a 3-day festival, celebration, a 3-day celebration. And so this year we are kicking it off on June 14th. Again, we are thankful for the Muskegon Rotary Club because they've come back again for a third year, I believe, to partner with us.
I think
I think it's the third year for them to partner with us for their free community mixer. So this is an event for the entire family. We do bounce houses and rides and the mobile video gaming unit for the kids. We give away food. Last year we did, we had someone frying fish. We did walking tacos. We had barbecue. I mean, it's a nice event. It's a nice event. So,
and you have live music.
And we do live music. So yeah, I scouted a band last week after I left here at the radio station. So yeah, we're scouting the acts for the weekend now. So if you all know anybody who has a wonderful band, you know, we'd love to hear or maybe come to a rehearsal and be able to hear them. We did live music on Friday night, which we'll do again this year. Saturday, there is a lot happening on Saturday in general for Juneteenth, not just for our Juneteenth, but also for Black Wall Street and their Black Expo. So mm-hmm. We encourage everybody, and we've done this for the last, you know, couple of years, to go and attend the expo. And then once you get done at the expo, come on out to the lake. Now, I don't know what we're going to do yet on that Saturday night. We did a comedy show last year. And, you know, it was fun. But we want to do something a little bit different this year. It might just be a kickback. I don't know yet. So but we have booked a DJ. So there will be a DJ there Saturday night for sure. And then we get into Sunday, and Brandon Davis has agreed to lead and direct the Juneteenth choir again. So we start the day off with gospel at 3:00. And then there'll also be an opportunity for candidates at 5:00 to talk. So if they're running for state positions, local, I think there's some things on the county ballot I know that there are some things on the county ballot. We got some judges, we got our clerk. So there are some things coming up locally for November. So we want to give those individuals the opportunity to just talk to the public. And we've done that every year as well. I like politics. So we give individuals the opportunity to talk and just, you know, kind of have a platform and talk to the people that day, and definitely get out and, you know, shake hands with people in the park that day. And then we're going to do some jazz. And then we'll have another band after the jazz, and then we go into our fireworks show.
Nice.
So
it's amazing how it has grown in 3 years.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, every year it comes faster and faster. I'm like, I don't think I took a nap yet from last year, but now here we go. We got to get it cracking, you know, between this and the city. Good. Jesus, yeah. I need a vacation. But
I tell people why it's important that this is not a celebration of one people. It's a celebration for everybody. And this is an event for everybody.
It is. It is definitely an event for everyone. And again, that's why it's called the West Michigan Juneteenth Celebration, because we also invite all the other communities to come and participate, come and sponsor, you know, whatever. We want this. We want to pack the park out with people from all backgrounds. It is celebrating our freedom. But, you know, again, we want everyone to have an opportunity to celebrate with us.
And can I say this? No pun on you, Jen. So, Jen, just stay out of it. The views that you're about to hear are coming straight from me. And not Jen.
Now right? Listen, G man, don't be messing up my money now.
No, I'm just saying, if you are out there thinking about throwing another Juneteenth celebration, we thank you for that. But take your money and take your time and throw it into this one, so we can have a grandiosis celebration. Okay, now that's my views. Okay, Jen's back in the conversation. All
right. Okay. With that being said, I want to thank our sponsors. We sent the letter out probably 2 weeks ago. So we're just now getting started with the fundraising portion of it. And again, this is a free event. We keep this free to the community for the whole weekend. So sponsorships are so important, and so important in just making sure that this goes out smoothly and we can continue to do this. So real quick, I want to shout out our fiduciary for this year. We have a new fiduciary. We partner with the Free Riders Motorcycle Club. And if you know anything about the Free Riders, they are big in giving back to the community. They've done giveaways with backpacks, and they, you know, just do different things in the community. And this particular group of young men are family men. You know, they're all family oriented, but they just like their motorcycles. So, So I want to give a shout out to the Free Riders for being our fiduciary for this year. And then I want to give a shout out to the sponsors who have come on so far. So the first one to respond this year and last year was Webb Chemical. Right here in the city of Muskegon Heights, one of the biggest manufacturers in Muskegon Heights, has been the first one to say, yes, we want to help out. We want to contribute. So, shout out to Brad Hillary and his crew over there at Webb Chemical. Thank you for your sponsorship and your partnership again. And then we have Core Realty. They're new for us this year. So we want to definitely thank them for coming on as a partner this year. We have Muskegon Family Care. They are a returning partner. Muskegon Federal Credit Union is a new partner. So thank you to them. We have DTE Consumers and GV Aviation, which are all returning partners for this year. And of course, our partnership with the Muskegon Rotary Club has been going for a few years now. So that's what we have so far. We just want to give them a shout out and thank them for their continued partnership.
But you're not done, because we need more money. So,
No, we're not done. So expect me back on somebody's show soon. It might not be this one. It might be the afternoon jams. Maybe Making Moves Monday will be back sometime soon. Who knows?
We'll have you on both. But how is important now for anybody that wants to donate? Mm-hmm. Tell people how they can donate for that event.
So again, because we are partnered with the fiduciary, your donations are tax deductible. You can drop them off here at the radio station, or drop it off to me at City Hall if you have a check. We can do electronic. You can definitely just send me an email. We have a Juneteenth celebration email, which is JuneteenthCelebrationMH@gmail.com. So if you send an inquiry there, we'll send you the sponsorship package, but any little bit helps. So don't think that you have to be obligated to the sponsorship levels that we're asking for, because any little bit helps. But those are ways that you can contribute to this year's Juneteenth celebration. And volunteer, you know, we're definitely always looking for some volunteers to help with parking, or just overall control, crowd control. You know, we generally have never had any problems, thank God. But, you know, the major issue out there is the parking. So just helping with just kind of guiding people to where to park at.
Jen Ross, City Clerk of Muskegon Heights, I want to thank you again for being on the show.
I want to thank you for always having me on the show.
Give that phone number one more time so people know how to get in touch with you.
Yeah, so you can contact me at Muskegon Heights City Hall. The phone number is 733-8999.
Jen Ross, thank you so much, and I'll see you we'll see you somewhere.
I know, somewhere. You know, we probably have to link up for karaoke or something sometime soon. I might have a song in my spirit sometimes.
You always get a song. You're right. Jen Ross, take care.
All right. Thanks, G-Man.
Bye-bye. That was Jen Ross from Muskegon Heights. Listen, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to do a quick commercial, go to our guest today, Mr. Vern Smith, candidate, running for one of those to Jen Ross, for Anthony Miller said, thanks for keeping it free, for real. Thank you. So listen, real quickly, I got a minute and a half to talk about that race. Muskegon Heights needs a lot of stuff done. We need for people to hit the ground running in Muskegon Heights. So these candidates that are there, thank you for running, but you're going to have to hit the feet. You're going to have to hit the pavement and hit the pavement and hit it hard, because there's a lot of things to do. Listen, it's 2:29 at the bottom of the hour. We're going to do a commercial break and then go right to candidate running in Muskegon Heights City Council, Mr. Vern Smith. You are watching Torn Into on 103.7 The Beat and M106.
The wait is over. The all-new Umoja Radio Network, home to over 40 black-owned radio stations and podcasts, is here for you. Connect to the world's fastest-growing collection of unapologetically black and proud media, from podcasts to independent black-owned radio stations, and access to the important news and music you need. Umoja Radio is from our culture, by our culture, for our culture. The all-new Umoja Radio is available right now on Google Play and the Apple Store. Join the movement. Be empowered.
Welcome back to Torn Into 2. It's about an hour, 2:30. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Vern Smith. Vernell Smith, how you doing, sir?
Pretty good about yourself today.
I'm doing great. Thank you for being on the show today. Mr. Smith, I know about you, but tell our listeners and people watching a little bit about yourself.
I'm a lifelong resident of the city of Muskegon Heights, class from 1989. I previously served on the Muskegon Heights City Council from 2011 to 2019, two terms. My last 2 years was served as mayor pro tem. Mm-hmm. And I'm just basically throwing my name back into the ring, because I'm going to be completely honest. I feel like, you know, there's some division and a lot of agreeing that's going on. And I want to throw my name back into the hat and hit the ground running. mm-hmm. and move the city into a position that we flourish.
All right, let's talk about you coming in, and what are the some of the things that you're hearing from voters that need to be accomplished in Muskegon Heights?
Well, it's all the number one focus has always been the water bills and the streets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the water bills, you know, until we can get, you know, more industrial into the city of Muskegon Heights, it's kind of going to be where it is. And as far as with the streets and all that, you know, we need to get more home ownership built, more industrial. We have the land and the property for it. We need to move forward with those kind of things. And at this point right now, you have a lot of, you know, even with me not being on council, I still have a lot of people approach me that feel like, you know, they're told one thing and another thing happens. And that's just, you know, we can't move forward as a city if the citizens don't trust the city, don't trust the council. You know, okay. I don't believe in somebody coming to me and asking me a question. You know, if they ask me a question and I don't have the answer, I'm going to go get the answer.
Right.
And I'm going to make sure that even if it's what they don't want to hear, at least they'll have the correct answer. Okay. And I can give them some type of timetable of, hey, it might not happen this year or next year, but it's going to happen, and be able to stick to my word versus just giving the citizens something that they just want to hear.
What do you feel about, then everybody's going to get these same questions. So do you feel that the city hall has transparency from the top to the bottom?
No, I don't. You know, there's a lot of division, you know. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of unhappy employees. You have a lot of unhappy, just everybody that, you know, it's a known fact that, you know, the city of Muskegon Heights is one of the lowest paid, you know, as far as police, fire, you know, in the city workers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what's been going on is you have a lot of people that will come in here with the experience and the education, and they stay here long enough to say get training and time under their belt, and then they move on. And what we need is to be that transparency to happen. We need to have an initiative to where we can get employees that'll come in here and be here long term.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the election happens, say you win. What are the first three things that you want to accomplish?
Number one is sitting down with the citizens, making sure that I get their concerns of what they want to happen and what they expect to happen, and being able to hold my word to it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, when I was serving on council, we had a section where and delegated where we hit the worst hit roles that were completed, you know, and then moved on to the ones that were not in bad shape. And I just felt over the last few years that has kind of fell to the wayside. Each road needs to be repaired, replaced. The water lines need to be replaced. But I kind of felt like it was a jigsaw puzzle that basically came apart, because we had a list of things that should have been repaired, streets repairs and all. It just fell to the wayside. There were streets that, in my opinion, they need to be repaired, but they could have waited. I mean, I'll give you an example. Between Summit and Broadway, Mason Street,
mm-hmm.
that street right there is the sideway between Broadway and Summit. And unless it's wintertime, it's really almost unpassable. Merriam, that takes you down to the expressway, that's another one that's unpassable. And I just want to be able to where, when elected, if a citizen comes to me, just like I have in the past, I'll be able to hold my word and say that, hey, if I told you this was going to happen in a time period, it happens. If it doesn't happen, I'm being able to give you a correct answer. And lastly, you know, being able to bring more police officers, more firefighters, more city workers. I mean, back, you know, now we're not back in the 90s, but back in the 90s, early 2000s, we took pride in the city. You know, we had a handful of city workers that took pride in cutting the grass, cleaning up the city, the streets, you know, the streets being swept. And I just kind of felt like we've kind of fell off the wayside and walked away from that. And, you know, those are some of my priorities. And I'm pretty sure that I could add more to that list.
Let's talk about the diversity of the council. That usually the council is a 4-3 split. Are you willing to work with anyone on that council?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that you asked that. You know, there, I've noticed that there has been a quite diversity split with the council, to where there have been situations to where that has almost, you know, even before the election, there was division, to where, you know, dealing with the city manager, dealing with the water. My take on that is, if it's no matter how you vote, the majority vote, and that's a full vote, you're going to get this going to pass. And my attitude has always been, if it's not for the benefit of the city, I'm not going to vote on it. I'm not there to make buddies. I'm not there to make friends. I'm there to serve the citizens that elect me to this position. And if I can't hold myself accountable for my actions, then I don't need to be there.
Now, whether it's like going to the credit union or going to a business, you've always made yourself friendly. Talk about you being approachable to the citizens of Muskegon Heights.
You know, I've always, you know, that's just basically my DNA. My parents, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, you know, I don't think there's nobody that didn't know my my grandfather, Charlie Smith, or my dad, Charlie Smith Jr., my grandmother, Geneva Smith, and my mother, you know, and, you know, that was just the type of thing that was just in my DNA. Even if I don't know the person and they recognize me, you know, unless I'm in a hurry, trying to get somewhere, if it's 30 minutes, if it's an hour, those ones that have a concern, even a non-citizen that has a concern, I'm going to take that time, because sometimes even that non-citizen that may want to move into the city of Muskegon Heights, I can persuade them. You know, I'm looking, you know, one of the number one things is, you know, I'm proud of the fact that we had a home built in the city of Muskegon Heights, but I don't want to wait another 17 years for another home to be built. I want these homes to be built, 3 or 4 homes, if not 10, to be able to be yearly. We have so much vacant property, you know, industrial, commercial, all that, you know, that needs to be done.
How do we get businesses to come back to Muskegon Heights?
Just doing the same thing that some of these other communities have, basically giving them some type of incentive to come in here, whether it's a tax incentive rebate, whether it's a land rebate, make the property enticing to the customer that wants to come in and invest in the city of Muskegon Heights. And then once they do come and invest into the city of Muskegon Heights, be able to sit down at the table and work with them if they have issues or violations, versus us working to shut them down. Let's work with them to keep them up and running. You know, because, you know, that's one of the things that I've heard, you know, with a few businesses that have came into the Heights. As soon as I come in here, I invest into the Heights, and then why didn't you tell me about all these violations before I open up? We need to go ahead and hit that with the hammer on the nail on the head. Get these people to come in to where when they come in and invest and they're satisfied, they're able to encourage other businesses to come to the city of Muskegon Heights to invest. I mean, we have too many vacant storefronts that are empty, vacant, that we need to go ahead and have people in those stores. I mean, they were there in the 60s, 70s, 80s, early part of the 90s, and these stores are still standing. And if they can do it in Grand Haven, Whitehall, Spring Lake, and other surrounding areas, we can bring that back right here into the city of Muskegon Heights.
Right. Now, before we talk about streets, Do you think the theater, Strand Theater, can be saved?
Yes. Yes, that can. They were able to, you know, during my time on council, you know, we were able to do some research, and they were able to save a similar theater to that extent up in Mackinac, Michigan, and up in Manistee. With the right investors and the grants that we would be entitled to, I believe that the Strand Theater is a diamond in the rough that can be brought back to glory. Mm-hmm. Along, you know, just as well as, you know, another thing, you know, not being off focus, but I just was looking on the news the other day to where they built a pavilion on Ross Park, which is on the other side of Moon Lake, you know, and it's always been that stigma saying, oh, the water's no good. Well, that's the same body of water.
Right.
And I believe, you know, with the right investments and the right investors, that we can bring that pavilion back just as well as Ross Park has done, just as well as the city of Muskegon. And as I stated, the other surrounding areas, we just have to take the time. And when we have the investors to come into the city of Muskegon Heights, we have to make sure that we dot our I's and cross our T's. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times what happens is we have a lot of investors that want to come in here into the city of Muskegon Heights. And they feel like they've given so much of a hard time, rough time, that they'll pick up, pack up, and go to the city of Muskegon or Roosevelt Park or some surrounding areas. And they're welcome with open arms and thrive. And the same thing can happen in the city of Muskegon Heights. I'm not throwing any names out there, but I would just say, you know, when elected on council, we as a council, we need to work with these men and women, these corporations that want to come in here and build into the city of Muskegon Heights. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not a ghost town. We're nowhere near a ghost town, but we just need to, you know, if and when I'm elected, I'm going to come in just like I did my last two terms. I'm going to hit the ground running. I'm retired now. I've got more time on my hands. You know, I'm going to just want to come in, hit the ground running. And my goal is to have a business or two to thrive in there during my time in right before I would have to rerun again.
Now, you talked about the water, and let it be known that the water facility is an A1 top-notch facility in Muskegon Heights.
It's actually one of the top of the arts in the state of Michigan.
There you go. Yeah, I just need to put that out there as very, very, very clear.
You know, we've been known to have, you know, some of the purest drinking. You know, even you know, with some of the misinformation that has been brought forth, we have the top drinking water in the city of Muskegon Heights, and we have had that for a number of years.
Talk about how important is if you look at like Lansing or Washington, that you need an advocate out there representing Muskegon Heights. In other words, the biggest dog gets the biggest pork chop. And you see Muskegon right now has a grant to tear every street apart and replace all the water drains. And they're doing it in my neighborhood. They're starting in my neighborhood. Why can't we do that in Muskegon Heights?
A lot of our issue has been matching funds. You know, during my time, the last time I was on, the last 8 years I was on council, a lot of the issue was a lot of the money that was presented out there, you would have to have either matching funds or a percentage of it.
Okay.
And what the issue was with the city of Muskegon Heights was, you know, we didn't meet the matching funds, you know, to be able to do that because, you know, we lack the revenue to come in to have those type of funds, to have the matching funds, mm-hmm. you know, and that's where that falls into place, to where we encourage more home ownership. We encourage more businesses to come in. That's going to increase the revenue into the city of Muskegon Heights to where we can get the new streets put in. I mean, you know, there's money already put into place for replacing the pipelines, but the construction of the streets, we still need revenue for that. You know, mm-hmm. there there's a lot, as I said, there's a lot of streets that need to be addressed. And that's one of the things that I'd like to get back on that committee, to where we are hitting the hardest hit streets versus, you know, you're on council, you get your, you know, just because you're on council, you're getting your street done, or you're getting a joint street done that could make, maybe could have waited another 3 or 4 years.
Talk about, and it's one of the things that drives me nuts when I'm talking to people, because they don't know what the heck they're talking about. How do we get rid of that, the persona of Muskegon Heights just being a place that is high in crime, low in people that care about the community? Because you and I know that that's wrong.
The one of the models that we've always had for the city of Muskegon Heights, the city of friendly people, and we are still the city of friendly people, but with social media and other things that, you know, people just commenting, you know, a lot of what happens in the city of Muskegon Heights doesn't involve the city of Muskegon Heights residents. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with the dumping, with the crime, a lot of that, if you look back at reports, you have people from surrounding areas that come into the city of Muskegon Heights to feel like they can commit their crimes. It's not so much always the residents that's doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get our bad tag from, saying what a city of Muskegon Heights is, a city of Muskegon Heights that. It's not the city of Muskegon Heights. It's some. There are individuals that do commit crimes in the city of Muskegon Heights, but the main majority that happens, there are residents that come from out of the city of Muskegon Heights. If they, you know, when they installed cameras on the, like the back alleys when people dumping, it wasn't the city of Muskegon Heights residents. It would be landlords from other areas or people from other areas that felt like they could dump their trash or their belongings on the railroad tracks and all that, where nobody would notice, mm-hmm. you know. And that's where we need to come in, like I said, you know, getting revenue inside here, more home ownerships, more businesses, to where we can have more police that patrol. You know, at one time, you know, they had, you know, at least maybe close to 8 people on patrol at one time, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Maybe we can't get 8 to 10 people, but, you know, at least 6 to 8 officers that are able to control every perimeter of the city. Mm-hmm. That way we can get the crime cut down, the dumping cut down, and where we can have people, investors and residents, that are going to feel safe that I can come build and live in the city of Muskegon Heights and mm-hmm. feel safe. Versus just driving through the city of Muskegon Heights to get to Roosevelt Park, North Shores, or even Muskegon. Mm-hmm.
You talked about this a little bit, but I want you to elaborate a little bit more, that there are plenty of places to build homes in Muskegon Heights. Now, the city of Muskegon changed some rules, tightened up a little bit, and houses started being built. How do we make that happen in Muskegon Heights?
Well, as I stated, with the incentive, having residents that, you know, first-time homeowners, you know, young couples that are, you know, are looking to build homes, to where they have an incentive where the interest rate is at a certain percent. You know, you stay inside, you know, if it's a 30-year mortgage, you know, you may pay a certain percent for the first 15 years. Mm-hmm. And if you stay in that home after 15 years, maybe that interest rate is cut in half, you know, to where, you know, and like I said, you know, when they have stuff like that, you know, you have investors that want to come in and build into the city of Muskegon Heights. Those are the same type of things that have happened in the city of Muskegon. I mean, if you looked all down Leonard, you look all down the Jackson Hill area, you right. know, all of that, right, was not all there at one point. And, you know, we've got the south side of the Heights. We've got the north side of the Heights. I mean, we've got so much vacant property that could be built on. All we need is an incentive to get these residents to come and want to believe in the city of Muskegon Heights, invest in it. I mean, small things like the beautification awards and the, you know, the best kept yards, the neighborhood block parties and all that, when mm-hmm. residents and people took pride into their homes. You know, a lot of that is lost. I mean, you know, I grew up you know, with the incentive of us getting awards on our yard and all that. And that, you know, even though it's just a piece of paper or signing a yard, that gives a resident, hey, let me get out here and get that award this month of this year. You know, they want to take the pride and beautification of their neighborhood. You know, when they do it, it's like a chain effect. Once one neighbor does it, the next neighbor does it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just same thing with building homes. You build, when they build a home and one person moves in and they see that there's a good incentive, that gives the incentive for the next person to say, hey, I want to build a home in the city of Muskegon Heights.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it takes is one person to move forward, and we can keep going.
This question here is, I want to go back to the 4-3 splits that we've been having in the Muskegon Heights. It's going to be very important that whoever comes in there is willing to work for the best for whatever it is, but work for the best for Muskegon Heights. How do we break that division? Gerald Ford said this, you know, the problem is too many people to the left and too many people on the right, especially now, but not enough people in the middle to get stuff done. How do we get stuff done?
Being able to break that 4-3 split, each council person has privilege.
One vote.
You know, they have one vote and they're privileged to this information. Versus being divided on this information, whether it comes from the city manager or another individual, they have time to research this information, get the correct answers to move forward with that. And then, you know, my thing is this, as always, I've heard rumors that, you know, when I was on council, I was a yes man here and there, but no, I wasn't. If it was benefited the city of Muskegon Heights, I was going to vote for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be on the side. If it doesn't benefit the citizens, I'm not going to vote for it. I mean, you know, that this position is important because, as you say, it's been a 4-3 decision, and a lot of it has not been in the favor for the city of Muskegon Heights. You know, all it takes is just research the information, get the correct information. That information is privileged and important to understand that. And it's always accessible before you get to a council meeting so that you don't have to stand there in that meeting 3 or 4 hours and discuss one subject for an hour. Mm-hmm. Get that information. It comes in your package. Get that information. If you don't understand the person that's presenting this information, go to that person. Get the correct information. So therefore, that when you come into a meeting, you're voting to move the city into a right direction. Because if we keep getting these splits, nobody's going to believe in the city of Muskegon Heights. Nobody's going to want to invest in the city of Muskegon Heights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have to get rid of that stigma of nobody gets along on council. It's, you know, as I stated, I'm not there to vote the wrong way. I'm there to vote the right way. Mm-hmm. If it benefits the citizens of Muskegon Heights, that's what's important to me. If it doesn't benefit me, as long as it benefits the city of Muskegon Heights, because, you know, there's a stipend that comes along with serving on that board, but that stipend is barely gas money. And there's a lot of
barely.
And there's a lot of times and a lot of hours that I put in, you know, in the time that I previously served, dealing with council, that, you know, the training that I went on my own personal time on my dime, because I always said to myself that I do not want to serve on council and don't have the correct information.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to get up there and make yourself look like a fool if you're telling somebody something and it's not the correct information. So therefore, going to training, getting the correct information, and moving forward is beneficial serving on the council in the city of Muskegon Heights. That's the only way we're going to move forward.
2:56, 4 minutes left to go. Okay, so, Mr. Smith, here's your shot, man. I'm out and I'm in Muskegon Heights, and I need to decide who I need to vote for. Why should I vote for Vernell Smith?
You should vote for Vernell Smith because he has a proven track record of 8 years on council. He's easily accessible. He's easy to communicate with. And if he doesn't have an answer, he's not going to stop until he gets that answer that's going to satisfy you. Mm-hmm. So that's why I feel like you should vote for Vernell Smith.
How can people find out more information, or if they want to write that big check and drop it off, how can they get in touch with you?
I can be reach me at 231-578-7676. I can be reached by email at vernsmith1971@gmail.com.
Mr. Vernell Smith, is there anything else?
As I stated, I have a proven track record of results. Get on May 6th, get out there and make your choice and vote for the person that you feel is going to make a difference.
Vernell Smith, thank you to coming to the Torn in Two show, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Vernell Smith running for the open seat in Muskegon Heights City Council. The last 2 minutes I'm going to take. It's very important, and he talked about it, a lot of the issues, but I'm gonna take it even further because it's very, very a complex situation that needs to be resolved. We have to take care of those 4-3 splits of divisiveness that has been happening. Now, you can call it whatever you want, but we got to take care of what is important for the residents of Muskegon Heights. It's time to stop making excuses and start moving ahead. And that's going to take place when we have people that work together than be divided all the time. Muskegon Heights is a wonderful city. Most people, you know, they get up, put their pants on one leg at a time, get their kids off to school, go to work, go home, take care of the kids, go to the events, get home, go to bed, repeat cycle, Saturday, take care of your yard, Sunday, go to church. But they take care of their area. But what has happened is a lot of people are just doing that. They're just staying in the house. We need people in Muskegon Heights to be very, very loud. What am I talking about? If you're going to get tax dollars, you need to bark. You need to be the biggest dog barking in Lansing and in Washington. And we need that to happen. It's happening in other municipalities in Muskegon County. If our roads can be fixed in the city of Muskegon, roads can be fixed in Muskegon Heights. And with that said, that's the end of my editorial. I want to thank Vernell Smith for being the first person on the show to interview. I want to thank Ms. Ross. Jen Ross for coming on and talking about the candidates and the people running, and also Juneteenth. This is Torn in Two. Last thing, if you would like to be a sponsor this show, please call Lady J, Janae, or Big Rob at 231-727-5007. And you can be sponsor this show. Listen, it's time for me to go. I will see you later. Listen, what I say, and I mean this, I don't say this just to blow smoke. You never know whose life you will touch. Go out and sow that seed in somebody's life. Even smile at somebody because you don't know what they're going through. Sow that seed in somebody's life. Make it change. Muskegon, you can do it. Take care. You've been listening, watching Torn in Two. Have a wait, gotta go to board. Mr. Miller says, have a blessed weekend, Greg and Mr. Miller, and then you too. Have a blessed weekend. Take care. God bless. We'll see you next week.